The Gospel of John in chapter 4, and we're going to commence our reading at verse number 46. And the Word of God says, "So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to ask him, went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, 'Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe.' The official said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go, your son will live.' The man believed the word that Jesus spoke unto him and went on his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him.' The father knew that it was the hour when Jesus had said to him, 'Your son will live.' And he himself believed in all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee." And we'll end our reading at verse number 54. One of the things that we do every day, whether we know it or not, is that we exercise a certain amount of faith. We do it when we go to our doctor and we trust them. We put our faith in them to treat our illnesses. When we go out onto the road, we trust the other users of the road to obey the highway code and save us from a crash. We trust our co-workers to do their jobs. We trust our families to take care of us. We exercise faith in other people every day that we live. And if we were not to exercise that faith, then society would come crashing down. We would stay in our beds, afraid to move, afraid to meet someone, afraid to talk to someone, afraid to get involved. And it's good that often our faith in others, our faith in the laws of our country and all of those things works out well. But we all know there are times when our faith is misplaced, don't we? When things don't just go right. When what we expected to happen doesn't happen. In the account that we have read this evening, we have a situation where a man is exercising faith in Jesus. And yet it doesn't all go according to his expectations. Things don't just seem right to this man. And Christ is doing a work in this man's life, a wonderful work, in relation to the type of faith that he is exercising. And we want to consider this evening what this tells us about faith, and the faith that we need to exercise in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to say this evening is that this man had faith. His faith was in Jesus, but at the same time, it was a misplaced faith. Because this was a man, an official man, a man who probably worked for Herod, who had heard a wonderful story about this mighty man who came to Cana and changed water into wine. He was a man who could do wonderful and mighty, mighty things. And this official must have sat back and thought, "Well, I have a need. I have a child who is sick. He is nearly going to die. The situation is dire. Perhaps this miracle worker, perhaps this man who can do mighty things, will be able to do something for my child." And as a result, he has decided to make the journey, the 20 miles from Capernaum, to go and to see Jesus in the hope that he will receive a miracle. You see, his trust, the faith that he exercised in Christ, was not in the person of who Jesus Christ was. It was because he could get something from him. For he hoped to see something marvelous. He hoped to see something wonderful. He hoped to receive a mighty gift, the healing of his son. And that's something that happens with regards to faith in our society today.
Whenever we look around us, whenever we look at the popular media and things, faith and spirituality don't have the same bad connotations that they used to have. Sometimes, or in the past, people have looked down on people who talked about faith or being spiritual or being religious. But today there seems to be a resurgence in faith and spirituality. Even in some circles, it's maybe seen to be good to describe yourself as a spiritual person. And as a result, no matter where we go, no matter what we read, no matter what we watch on television, we see people talking about spirituality. We have popular film icons talking about their spirituality. And it seems that's acceptable to exercise some sort of faith. But the sad thing is that in so many of these situations and in so many of the things that we see, faith is seen as a way of getting something for nothing. People feel that they have a need. Perhaps they are lonely. Perhaps they feel that their lives are incomplete. They have had a string of failed relationships and they don't seem to be able to get on with anyone. Their lives are filled with addictions and illness and unhappiness. And religion and spirituality and faith is seen as a way of filling the gap, of meeting those needs and becoming a whole person again. And as I was thinking about this, I went onto the internet and I looked up, or I put a couple of words in a search engine and I come up with a website. And this website is called Dear God. And it's described as a website for people around the world to share their hopes and fears through prayer and receive support and advice and encouragement. It sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds pretty okay. But it goes on to say, it doesn't matter what your version of God is. Jesus, Allah, Buddha, or a spiritual universal energy. Praying to a higher power soothes and heals. It is believed that people who pray are healthier, happier, and more resilient. Here is a website, one among many thousands. And it sees the idea of spirituality, of belief in a God, as a means to becoming happy, as a means to live longer, as a means to receiving a miracle in their lives. How sad. How far from the truth that we find in the Word of God is this? And the sad situation, there are people today, and perhaps there is a person here even this evening, and they place their faith in something or someone in the hope of receiving something back. But when the miracle doesn't appear, when the change doesn't happen, their faith is gone. Their hope is gone and their lives are destroyed. They have placed their faith in something that cannot bear fruit. They cannot achieve what they want to achieve. Their faith is a misplaced faith. It is a vain faith. It is like the faith of the man who has come to see Jesus in the hope of receiving a miracle. But as we read the story, we see that Christ is not fooled. We know Christ is the Son of God, and he can look into this man's life, he can look into his heart, and he can see exactly how shallow his faith is. And his words seem harsh, but he says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. He knew exactly what he wanted. He knew exactly that his belief was based on the possibility of a miracle. And this man in so much need, this man with great heaviness of heart, is being forced to re-examine what he believes or who he is believing in. He is to decide, is it a miracle that he wants or is it the Lord Jesus Christ that he wants? And we thank God that this man, when he re-examines his life, when he re-examines his situation, he's saying, I need you to come. My child is going to die. And Christ must look into his heart and see a change. For he says, go, your son will live. You see, Jesus Christ is testing this man's faith. His faith in the original part was misplaced, but now he's going to test it. He's going to ask him to look inside himself and see, is it really true? And the man has to go away from the Lord Jesus, the only hope that he had to see his son well, with nothing more than a promise. Christ wasn't coming with him. The miracle worker wasn't going to come to his home. He wasn't going to speak to the child. He wasn't going to lay hands on the child. He got a promise. Go, your son will live. Can I ask you this evening? Have you tested your faith? Do you have a faith that can stand examination? You know, if you have placed your faith in a person, in a pastor or a wise person, or in a so-called miracle worker, I wonder if you examine that faith, how true you can find it. Have you placed your faith in a good feeling, in a desire to be right, or in a religious system? Is that faith what we would recognize as the faith described in the Word of God? A faith that brings salvation to a soul that is dying? For the faith that befell this man's son, the danger of death, is the faith that faces each one of us, for sin brings forth death. And we need to be sure that if we are trusting something or someone to see us through into eternity, to deal with the wickedness and the sinfulness in our life, we need to test that faith. We need to make sure that it's grounded on something firm. You know, in recent days, I have been thinking about this a lot. You know, one of the things that came to my mind was, recently in London, there was an advertising campaign run by the Humanist Society. And on the side of the buses, they placed an ad saying, there is probably no God, so relax and enjoy your life. And I wondered, where was their faith placed? Because you see, even an atheist or a humanist has to have faith. Sometimes they seem to think that they trust in infallible scientific evidence. And yet, science cannot answer every question. It cannot find physical evidence for the things that we experience every day, including our thoughts, our values, and our conscious experiences. And even when it comes to how the world works, it is only dealing with part of the information. And yet there is a rejection of God. We see people exercising faith in a desire that there is no God. I pulled up this particular quote, which I find extremely interesting. This is from an atheist called Thomas Nagel, a very famous man. And he says, I want atheism to be true. It is that I hope there is no God. I don't want there to be a God. Here we have a man who has placed his eternal future and the idea that there is no God, not based on infallible evidence, not based on something that can be tested and tried and be made sure, but on a desire. On a desire, on a hope, on a fear. How sad. How sad that we could stake our future on something so fleeting, something so unsure. When we have the truth of the Word of God before us. And let me say, we do not have to set aside our reason and our understanding and our intelligence. Augustine says God does not expect us to submit our faith to him without reason. But the very limits of our faith make faith a necessity. We need faith. There are things that we as human beings will never be able to experience. Our senses can only take us so far. And God has given us so much information, and He has given us so much wonder and so much greatness to behold. And we need to exercise faith to take us that little bit further, to take us beyond where our eyes can take us, or our touch can take us, or where our intelligence can take us. There's a reality that needs to be understood this evening. And the reality is that there is a God. We have the evidence all around us. We have the evidence in our hands. And He is a God to whom each one of us is accountable. He is a God who has loved us and who has sustained us for all of our lives. He is a God who has looked into our hearts and has seen our need. He has seen our destiny. And instead of doing nothing about it, He has set in motion a plan. He has sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. He is not a God who stands idly by to let us go to destruction. He is not a God that stands idly by and lets us destroy ourselves. He is a God that cares. For He sent Jesus Christ, His only Son, into this world to live among us, the people who hated Him, who despised Him and sought to destroy Him. He suffered in our place. And no one can describe the depth of that suffering. Physically, He was tortured. Emotionally, He was insulted. He was hated. And spiritually, He was rejected by His Father. That cross showed the depth of God's love for you and for me. We can read about it in His Word. We can read how much men hated Him. We can read how they walked up to Him as He hung on that cross and insulted Him and spat in His face and poured out their hatred upon Him. We can read about how the darkness covered the face of the earth as His Father turned His back on Him and the love that was between them was broken for the one and only time. We can read how He died. The immortal Son of God died the death that I should have died. And we thank God this evening that not only did He die, but He rose from the grave the third day. And at this moment, we have a Savior who is glorified in heaven, who has taken His rightful place beside His Father's throne. And He demands our response. He demands that we exercise faith in Him as the only foundation for faith that can be truly tested, that can be truly sure, that can bring salvation to your soul and to mine. This man went away trusting what Christ had said. He journeyed and spent the night, and the next day he met his servants and they told him that the news was good, that his son was well, that the word that Christ had spoken, the power that Christ had exercised, even without doing what he wanted him to do, was enough, and it brought healing to his son, and praise God, it brought salvation to his home. For he and his family turned and accepted Jesus Christ as their long-awaited Messiah. This was a man whose faith was changed from a misplaced faith, from an untested faith, to a saving faith. And yet it was not the size of the faith. It wasn't how much he trusted God. It was the God he trusted in. It was because he trusted in Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. Where is your faith tonight? Have you a saving faith? Have you looked into your heart and have you seen the need that is there? The wickedness, the lies and the deceit, and the hatred and the pride, and felt that need. But instead of putting your trust in other people, instead of putting your trust in religion, instead of putting your trust in untested things, have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Jesus is the only true foundation for our faith. In this account, he brought a man and changed him. Changed him forever. But if you want to experience that change, if you want to know what it is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to exercise your faith in him. I can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. Your children can't do it for you. Your loved ones cannot do it for you. You need to exercise your faith. Trust in him and only him. Nothing else. Not trusting in your works or in how much money you have in the bank or how successful your business is. Not trusting in the religious rituals that you've taken part in. Not trusting in your church membership. Not trusting in anything. Only the fact that Jesus Christ came and shed his blood for you. And because he shed his blood for you, you don't have to die. You don't have to suffer the penalty of your sin. You can know what it is to walk, to live, and to serve the very best of masters, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. My prayer for you this evening is that you have the courage to obey God, to listen to his call, to respond and exercise the faith that he demands. I know what it is to come and trust Jesus.